If you're a B2B marketer, you definitely know the scenario. You launch a big Facebook campaign, the clicks start rolling in, your budget's getting spent. But when you actually look in the CRM, the conversions, the real ones, they're sitting at, well, a pretty disheartening zero. That disconnect, I mean, turning that cold traffic into a real sales pipeline is arguably the toughest nut to crack right now.
It absolutely is. And the thing is, we're dealing with these long, really complex B2B buying journeys. Plus, the competition for just getting attention is fiercer than ever. And privacy controls have basically crippled the old ways of tracking.
Just generic prospecting is
Yeah.
a waste of money.
It's a massive waste of ad spend if you can't efficiently re-engage that initial traffic you paid so much for.
Okay, so we're not here today to talk about basic retargeting. Our mission for this deep dive is to cut through all that noise. We've pulled together the research on 10 rock-solid proven strategies, blueprints that can really change how you approach Facebook ads retargeting in 2026. We're talking about moving from clicks to actual revenue.
Right, not just showing the same ad over and over and, hoping for the best.
Exactly.
So maybe let's start with the mechanism itself, because that foundation, it really dictates everything else. Retargeting at its core is just reconnecting with users who showed some interest, they visited your site, watched a video, but stopped short of a big action like a demo request.
But just relying on the standard Facebook pixel feels a bit risky now, doesn't it? With all the privacy shifts. I mean, how
Yes.
reliable is that in 2026? And how much of the work does the alternative, the Conversions API or Keek API, have to do now?
That's the critical pivot. The pixel on its own is dying a slow death. Browsers like Safari, Firefox, and all the iOS updates, they are intentionally degrading that browser-side tracking. You absolutely must implement the Conversions API.
Okay.
CPI reports events directly from your server, from your CRM or your backend. It just bypasses those browser limits. It's what ensures you can reliably see user intent and build your audiences, even if someone's using an ad blocker.
So API is the safety net that makes all this advanced stuff we're about to talk about even possible. Okay, let's get into our first section then, the foundation. Why is this level of sophistication so essential for B2B specifically?
It's all about the complexity of the sale. I mean, a consumer buying a new gadget might decide in 10 minutes. A B2B client buying, say, an enterprise AI platform, that could take 6 months, 18 months even.
Right. They never convert on the first touch.
Or the 10th, they're downloading white papers, reading comparison guides, revisiting the pricing page, and they're often involving five, six, seven different stakeholders in that decision.
So you're not just trying to convince one person, you're managing this consensus building effort across a whole company.
Exactly. And retargeting becomes your automated sequence for that consensus building. It keeps your solution front and center, but the message has to evolve. The whole goal is to guide all those stakeholders through every little stage of the funnel. And if you're trying to do that without a solid tracking setup, without segmentation, you're basically flying blind.
That sets the stage perfectly. If the problem is consensus and complexity, then the solution has to be about targeting the entire team. Let's dive into our first strategy, account-based retargeting, or ABR. This is a big one.
ABR is essential for any high-value sale. You're abandoning the idea of just retargeting Jane Smith who visited your site. Instead, you're targeting the entire company where Jane Smith works. It just acknowledges that B2B decisions are almost always collective.
Okay, so how do you operationalize that? I mean, getting those target lists into Facebook and keeping that role-based segmentation,
Yeah.
that sounds tricky.
Well, the implementation, it relies on really high quality data. First, you identify your top accounts and the key decision makers inside them. So specific job titles, VP of engineering, head of finance, whatever it is, you take those lists, you clean them up, and you upload them to Facebook as a custom audience. Facebook then matches them, so you can segment them not just as employees of Acme Corp, but as Acme Corp executives versus Acme Corp's IT staff.
And the implication there is huge. The messaging has to be completely different for each group, right? It has to be role-based.
Absolutely. For the executive group, your ad creative is all about ROI, competitive advantage, strategic goals. But for the IT department, you need to give them technical details, integration specs, data security info. ABR turns your retargeting into this synchronized sales assist, making sure every stakeholder gets exactly what they need to say yes.
That leads us right into our next strategy, which builds on this idea of segmentation. This is strategy five, creating hyper-specific segments with stacked behavioral and firmographic data.
Right. We have to get past the generic all website visitors audience. It's just too broad. There's no real buying signal there. The real power comes from layering two different kinds of data. You take behavioral signals like time on site, specific pages they looked at, and you stack those with firmographic details like company size or industry.
I know a lot of marketers worry about making the audience too narrow, though. You know, if they're too small, the algorithm can't optimize. Where's the sweet spot?
That's the trade-off. But the sweet spot isn't about size. It's about intent. A small audience of, say, 5,000 users who've shown extremely high intent behavior is way more valuable than 50,000 generic blog readers. The classic example is targeting CFOs from mid-market SaaS companies who revisit your pricing page more than once in a week. That combination, job title, industry, company size, and that high intent action, it's gold. It tells you they're probably building a business case right now.
That's a perfect transition from who we're targeting to how we track their intent.
Mm.
So let's look at strategy number two, advanced Facebook pixel tracking, but focusing on micro actions.
Right.
A simple page view isn't enough anymore.
Precisely. A click to a blog post could just be an accident, but tracking these micro actions, that reveals real engagement. We need to track things like how far they scrolled on a page or if they clicked to expand a section on integration details.
And can they give you a concrete messaging angle? Like, what about form abandonment? That's a huge pain point.
It's vital. If you track someone who abandons a demo form after filling in their name and email, but they bail at the annual revenue field,
yeah,
you know exactly what the roadblock was. Sensitivity. Privacy. So your retargeting ad to them shouldn't just push the demo again. It should offer something that builds trust, like a privacy guarantee or a testimonial.
So you're using the dropout point as the creative brief for the next ad. That brings us to strategy number eight, which we've mentioned, but let's dive in. Robust tracking with the conversions API. Why is CPI truly non-negotiable in 2026?
It's the sheer data loss without it. I mean, if you're only using the browser side pixel, you could be missing 30, maybe 40% of your key conversion events. For a B2B business where one lead can be worth tens of thousands of dollars, that kind of data blackout is just unacceptable.
So see, Key II makes sure those crucial events, those micro actions we just talked about, are recorded reliably no matter what the user's browser settings are.
Exactly. It completes the feedback loop. The server-side data gives you accuracy, which is critical for optimization, and later on, for attribution. You can't optimize a funnel for revenue if the platform thinks half your conversions never even happened.
Okay, so once we have that clean intent data, we can finally move people through the buyer's journey properly. That's strategy number seven, aligning ad messaging with the prospect stage in the journey.
This is the core of smart sequential retargeting. You're building custom ad sequences based entirely on how engaged they are. So if a user just visited an awareness level blog post, they get some thought leadership, maybe a case study. But if they move to consideration viewing product pages, comparison guides, the messaging shifts, it becomes about feature comparisons, ROI calculators.
And only once they hit that decision phase, looking at the pricing page, starting the demo form, only then do you hit them with a high commitment offer.
And that logical progression is key. It stops you from making the biggest B2B mistake, which is showing a hard sell ad to someone who's still just trying to understand the problem.
Right. But managing all that complexity, it must require some serious tools. That takes us to strategy number nine, automating these retargeting sequences.
Absolutely. You can't do this manually. It's just not scalable. You need platforms that let you set up these intricate rule-based automations.
But what does that actually look like in practice for a B2B company?
Think about setting up rules that respond instantly. For instance, a user watches 75% of a product video, so the system automatically serves them ad sequence B, which is a relevant case study. Or if they visit a product page twice in 1 week, the system shifts them into a sequence designed to overcome integration fears. It's timely, it's relevant, and it feels personalized.
That responsiveness is everything. Okay, let's move to our final section, measurement and optimization. We have to prove all this is working. Let's start with strategy number four. Custom attribution modeling.
This is where so many B2B campaigns fall down. You just cannot rely on Facebook's default windows, like right. The one-day view or seven-day click. In a sales cycle that might be 90 days long, those windows completely ignore all the early touches that helped move things along.
So what's the minimum action required here for serious tracking?
You need to customize the model. We recommend a minimum of a seven-day view and a 30-day click attribution window, but that's only half of it. You have to pair this with robust UTM tracking and full CRM integration to map the entire journey, not just the Facebook touches.
So we're justifying the retargeting spend by proving that those early touches actually led to a high-value conversion way down the line.
Precisely. And that builds into strategy number six, connecting retargeting metrics directly to revenue. We have to shift away from vanity metrics like cost per click and impressions and focus on actual business outcomes.
How do you practically make that link to revenue happen?
It goes back to that clean CPI data paired with a CRM integration like Salesforce or HubSpot. The crucial step is syncing user events back into the ad platform. That way you're not just tracking leads generated, you're tracking pipeline generated, conversion rates at the negotiation stage, and most importantly, closed revenue from a specific audience.
And that brings us to strategy number three, the big picture view, aligning paid social with your entire content, messaging, and revenue strategy.
Yes. If your ad copy conflicts with the nurture email they just got, or sales is promising one thing while your retargeting promotes another, you just erode trust. Every Facebook sequence has to reinforce your brand and work in sync with what sales and email are doing. It all has to be one conversation.
Okay, finally, let's talk about the human element. Strategy number 10, setting smart frequency caps to prevent ad fatigue. This feels so critical in B2B.
It's the most common oversight. If you overexpose these key decision makers, you don't just waste money, you create brand resentment. I've seen clients who, without proper controls, were showing the same ad 10 or 15 times a day to a small group of executives. Their block rate shot through the roof.
So what's a defensible specific limit we should be aiming for?
Because the audience is smaller and the cycle is longer, you need tight control. I'd set a clear limit of 3 to 5 impressions per user per week. And beyond that, you have to be aggressive with exclusion lists. The moment someone converts, exclude them. If they're inactive for 30 days, pause them. Keep things fresh.
Okay, let's wrap this up for the listener. We've gone through 10 really strategic blueprints here.
Mm-hmm.
It seems pretty clear that mastering this kind of retargeting is just non-negotiable for B2B success going forward.
The era of generic one-size-fits-all retargeting is completely over. Success really hinges on mastering these sophisticated funnels, stacking your audiences, focusing on intent, and having clean server-side tracking with KPI.
You have to be targeted, you have to be measured, and you have to connect every dollar of ad spend back to the pipeline.
The ultimate competitive advantage, looking ahead, is going to be the ability to deliver hyper-relevant content to the right person at the exact right time. I mean, think about it. How much more revenue could you drive if you knew the precise moment a prospect shifts from just considering to actively deciding, and you could immediately serve them the perfect piece of social proof to seal the deal? That insight alone is worth millions.
Something for you to mull over as you optimize your next campaign.
This deep dive was brought to you with insights provided by Skupik.